Kelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here we go. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday. It's May 12th. Bill Buckmaster and his bride, Anne, are celebrating their 44th wedding anniversary in the islands of Hawaii. Shabby thing to do. I don't know what they're going to do for the 45th, but that's really kind of something to congratulate them about. So I am Shelley Fishman. I'm not Bill Buckmaster. And we've got a little bit of a different format on the show today. First of all, the Tuesday financial roundup that we normally do, I'm going to skip. The markets have kind of settled on neutral for the day, which is good for a Tuesday with the tradition that Bill and I have established every Tuesday. It's a thumbs down because the market's down 100 points. Well, today it was down 100 points or 150 points earlier, but it's come back to neutral. So let's hope it stays that way for the rest of the day and we don't miss anything important. Nothing fundamental is changing in the markets, so we can probably wait till next week to review it for everybody. I am honored. I am thrilled to be hosting today's show because we are going to talk about downtown. We're going to talk about downtown development. We're going to talk about the progress that we've made and where we're going. And we're going to do it with the two people in Tucson who are probably more responsible for making this happen and knowing what's happening than just about any two people you can think of. We have Michael Keith, who's the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Fletcher McCusker, who's the chairman of Rio Nuevo. And I've got long bios on both of them. Not going to read those bios. Because if you don't know who these guys are, you will by the end of the show. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming and spending the entire hour here with me. So it would not be appropriate to start with controversial stuff. Let's talk, I think, about what's going on downtown now. And what's underway, what's planned in the near term, and how you guys and your organizations kind of make those things happen. And I'm just going to start with Fletcher because you're on my left.
Sheldon, thanks. It's important to note that almost 5 years ago to the day, Michael and I met downtown. We had elected to move Providence headquarters downtown. And a group of us, most of downtown was boarded up then. You'll remember the Santa Rita was boarded
Absolutely.
Up, the Fox was boarded up, the most of the storefronts on Congress were unusable. And then we got together with Donovan Durbin, David Slutz from the Hotel Congress, Nicole Flowers, just opened up 47 Scott. And we talked about what could we do, non-government people, just people that were passionate about downtown, interested in downtown. What could we do to attract people downtown? The genesis of that was Second Saturdays. And we just celebrated our fifth anniversary this last weekend of Second Saturdays. And we knew it had to be about music and about food. And if you look 5 years later, the success of downtown is related to those two factors.
Music and food.
It's really quite simple. If we had designed it, nobody would have believed us. But it's a little bit of Austin, Texas today. It's great restaurants, walkable. The streetcar makes that even more accessible. The Rialto's never done better. It's one of the top 40 venues in the country today. The Fox is booked constantly. And you've got great restaurants. It's become a destination for entertainment, food, and music. And then the things that you want in a vibrant downtown are starting to come as well. You know, residential, corporate headquarters, apartments, a grocery store, hotels. It's all coming. But what really made it happen was a group of 20 or so people who are as passionate about it as Michael and I have been.
Okay, so 5 years ago, if my memory serves, there was also something else going on downtown that was causing a stir in the press and making a lot of people in Tucson really question whether we were doing the right thing. And that's the organization that has now morphed into something very, very different, but that you run, Rio Nuevo.
It's a great example of why the government should get out of the way of economic development, because who knows what would downtown look like today if Rio Nuevo had been successful? It was monolithic projects. It was a science center. It was an IMAX theater. It was an aquarium. It was these things that might work in L.A., but who knows what downtown would look like. The failure of Rio Nuevo is the irony that we experience today. What happened is the private sector, Shelley, stepped up from restaurant owners to business people to club owners. You know, there wasn't any government money anymore. All of us invested our own money. We took great risk to establish our businesses downtown, and that's why it's sustainable today. And had Rio Nuevo succeeded, I think you'd have a very different-looking downtown. Sure. And it would be very commercial and very vanilla and probably would not be as much fun as what we enjoyed.
The audit pointed that out. The Rio Nuevo audit that was conducted basically said that the organization overreached from its original objectives, and by taking a broad, long-range view of what they believed the city of Tucson should look like in 20 years, that's where they really made their mistake. Michael, would you agree?
Yeah, and I think there's a failing of government to understand that public works-driven urban centers are artificially stimulated. So if you're going to put in a big football stadium, or if you're going to do some big public works, or a rainbow bridge over a freeway, that you've created something that's not rooted in really sustainable economics. And I think Fletcher's right. Had that happened, we would have gotten chains would have been attracted to the edge of the Sombrero arena, and you would have had something.
It was a tortoise arena.
So, but what happened is that we've seen 225 businesses open downtown in a little over 60 months, for the most part, and the vast majority of those, 96% of them, are either Tucson-based or Arizona-based. Almost no chains. Or nothing outside of the region, and a lot of those are small mom and pop entrepreneurs, actually young entrepreneurs in their 20s and 30s, for the most part. And now we've got something that's true to Tucson. It's part of Tucson's identity. It's Tucson residents that are vested in it, and I think we've got something that's going to be sustainable for decades to come.
It never fails to surprise me that when I think I know the way a conversation's going to go, it doesn't go that way. I should mention that the Buckmaster Live line is available. It's open for comments and calls, 790-2040. And if you are interested in asking either Mr. Keith or Mr. McCusker a question or have a comment, please feel free to call us on 790-2040. So when I look at, I'm going to push back a little bit on you.
Sure.
Guys, just a tiny bit here. I kind of liked the Rainbow Bridge. I'm not sure it was affordable, but I liked the concept because I grew up in New York City. I saw what happened in some other cities that had, in fact, taken a more centralized approach to planning and understanding what their future was, put a lot of investment into that future, and then sat back and watched it take off. Cities like Austin and Portland and Seattle.
Oklahoma City, you go down to, it's extraordinary. But the difference, Shelley, is they took one project and they completed it successfully. And they built upon that credibility to enhance the rest of the urban core.
Right.
What our Rio Nuevo did was chase rabbits down a hole. 10 or 12 different projects at a time, never really completing anything. The Star line, the tagline from the Star, became their brand, $240 million with little to show for it. Had they focused on one of those iconic projects and built an aquarium or built a science museum or something that would have attracted people, you'd have something that you could point to as the springboard of downtown development. Unfortunately, none of those things happened. And they literally ran out of money.
Sure,
Most of those projects were, in fact, abandoned. And we never had a chance, therefore, to build those iconic projects. So what you have today is more of organic growth,
right.
Entrepreneur-driven, smaller growth. And maybe still some iconic development will follow, behind us that will be a huge boost for the downtown core.
Okay. Before we take our first break, we have a caller. Jim Kelly is on the line. Jim, you have a question for these guys.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, it hurts my heart that we're never going to recover the $253 million that got wasted. However, what singular thing are we working on now for Rio Nuevo to brand, build, and make happen? Fletcher.
It's a great question, and I think all of us are saddened about the history. The San Diego TIF, for every dollar the government invested in San Diego, the private sector invested six. So not only did we lose $250 million, we lost probably $1 billion of activity over that 10-year period. We're focused on things that we can complete. We recently remodeled the arena, which is now the Public Works Project of the Year. It's an extraordinary small kind of junior Staples Center. We're working on launching the first Marriott-branded hotel in downtown Tucson. We're working with Alan Norville on projects on the west side. So we're looking at one project at a time, things that we can complete with the limited amount of money that's left. Rio Nuevo will have about $50 million over the next 10 years, a far cry from what we have had. But properly invested, we hope will spur $250 or $300 million of activity.
Jim, thanks for the question. That's really great. I'd like to take a break. Before I do, I have to note that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 20th Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival featuring legendary blues master Taj Mahal. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay, like the Bear Mountain Lodge and the Casitas de Gila Guest Lodge, just go to southwestnewmexico.org. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with these two guys. We're going to talk about why is downtown important.
Don't let the bees put a sting into your day. Call the professionals at Five Star Pest Control. We have options for you. We can either send them to bee heaven, or we can remove the bees with their special equipment. Bee stings are the number one killer of humans. Call us and don't get stung. 886-0045, five-star-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
We're back. We're back with Michael Keith and Fletcher McCusker, and we're talking about the city of Tucson and focus on downtown. And so if we're focusing on downtown and we're so proud of what's happened over the past couple of years, the question is, why is downtown important? You know, Tucson's a big place, and downtown isn't. So why the focus, and what are the economic drivers downtown that will aid everybody in this very large metropolis? Let's start with you, Michael.
All right. And it's not a bad question for Fletcher either, because one thing I learned from talking to Trio over the years was how difficult it was to attract businesses to Tucson. There were a lot of reasons cited for mm-hmm. that. But it was interesting that a lot of firms cited the fact that there was no vibrant downtown. There was no identity. There was no heart of the city, no place for its younger employees to go to. And when they would put that vote to their employees, particularly the younger ones, would say, no way. We lose 75% of all of our college graduates out of Tucson, largely because there's no vibrant urban center for them. There's no place for them to meet other people, no place for them to meet their mates or future mates.
Well, there's no jobs.
And there's no jobs. And so you need to start with creating an identity for yourselves, and most cities do that, as you know, with their city centers.
Sure.
And some part of their city center that's branded, whether it's the streetcars in San Francisco or Bourbon Street in Louisiana, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, every one of them has a unique identity. We're just beginning to develop ours again all over, and that will probably answer your next question a little bit, but at every level, if you want to attract good college professors, if you want to compete for small to medium-sized companies, if you want to retain your millennials, and that's something that Fletcher and I have been talking a lot about, is that in 4 years, 50% of the workforce are millennials. If you don't go out and recruit them, if you don't create places that they want to go, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to Portland and Austin. And now we're talking about the next 40 years downtown.
Right.
If you do not create this dynamic urban center, you are going to get lost in all those cities out there that are providing that kind of culture.
And all those strip malls that support the downtown that are not in downtown, they will suffer as well.
Oh, it's all
critical mass is critical.
Right.
One of the things that always disturbed me in the almost 30 years I've been here is every time you have an economic downturn, we get hit earlier and harder and come out of it later because we don't have the critical mass we need to support a really recovering economy.
Correct.
Fletcher, you know, if you could kind of make a wish and define the Tucson that you'd like to see emerge from the effort that you guys are putting in, what would it look like? What would be that special personality?
It's important to understand that our jobs are specific to about a 6 square mile. So we're not working on the east side or the north side or, you know, the Sunshine Mile or Saddlebrook or anything else. We have a parochial interest in demonstrating our downtown can work. And Michael's right. There's a lot of reasons for that. Attracting the millennials, keeping kids in town that would otherwise go to Austin or Portland. I got involved because it was embarrassing. And I travel a lot. And during Rio Nuevo's heyday, you know, people would love to joke about it. you know, real nada. What the hell are you guys thinking down there? You know, what a waste of money. Why would you even get involved? The conversation's totally changed. And downtown Tucson is topical every place I go. You know, Scarlett Johansson at the Academy Awards, somebody said something about it. She said, I love downtown Tucson. You couldn't have paid for that. But that's the kind of feedback we're getting now about what's happening to our downtown. So now it's a sense of pride for our region. It was a blight on Tucson's ability to be successful, on our government, on how we think, how stupid it looked. And I think there's a lot of really passionate, smart people involved now that are going to make our downtown work. And it'll be something we all celebrate. And maybe, just maybe, Michael's right, it'll attract a young, hip company who looked at Austin and looked at Portland and looked at San Diego and said, I want to be in Tucson. And we're on the very fringe of being able to see that. But if none of that ever happens, we've created a great adventure for our own residents. The families that come downtown, the people that are coming down on Second Saturday for a free street fair every month, the people that come from Phoenix now to go to our theater and our restaurants. You know,
but are you really willing to settle for just the status quo?
There's a lot of things coming up, and I think that's really where we're more. It's fun to celebrate where we've come from. But, you know, there's a $100 million project on the west side of the TCC being developed by Alan Norville.
Right.
There's an AC brand hotel being developed by Scott Styler, which is one of the most popular hotels in Europe. Every week, Michael and I entertain somebody that's looking at our city from the far west side at the base of Eight Mountain, you know, to invest in and develop something. So all of this is going to happen in probably the next 4 or 5 years. And it'll be something that everybody in the region will be proud of. And when your friends and family come to visit you and you want to think about what do I show them, they're going to be coming downtown.
That's a great point, because right now, so often when friends and family talk to you from out of town, oh, you live in Arizona. So how does Tucson separate itself from, you know, that ethos, and attract millennials? I mean, I've heard now for what, a decade, the rush of businesses moving out of California because they can't stand it there. We're going to settle here in Arizona. You know, it ain't happened.
Well, it's probably happened they're going to Chandler and Mesa and Scottsdale and. You know, Chandler, I think, is the number two city in the country now in terms of job infill, job in migration. You know, and we're just not on that radar yet for whatever reasons. I think some of it's because we're not an airport hub. And this is a hard city to commute from. And we may never be an airport hub. You know, we're trying to encourage some direct flights to New York and some other things that maybe make a difference. But, you know, we're more Austin than we are Dallas. And for us to compete with Maricopa County for Tesla or Apple is a total waste of our time. They're not coming to Tucson. We're too edgy. We're too distant from the airport. It's too much of a desert environment. You know, we have to identify our own strengths and really focus on those. And I think we're attracting a young group of really smart people. There's 12 startup companies coming out of the U of A. They're all going to stay local. You know, Startup Tucson, which is barely a year old now, has another dozen companies that are incubating, and they're downtown. So they're all downtown Tucson. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to really show that we can make it work.
And not to keep pounding on this point, because it tends to be a negative, but my instinct tells me that there are some problems associated with being in Arizona for young people, especially people coming from the coasts. And I just wonder, you know, you can't sweep that under the rug. You have to talk about it. You have to separate Tucson and the edginess that we have here from, you know, maybe from Maricopa County.
Well, what you're trying to do is you're trying to, at least in the downtown area, is you're trying to create an urban village.
Right.
You're trying to create a place where you can live, work, and play and raise a family. Because when you're talking about millennials and Gen Zs, the group coming right behind them, they're only going to stay if they can find quality education and raise a family. So they may stay for 5 or 6 or 8 years, but we've got to think beyond that. But what they're looking for, and this has been interesting across the country, when they polled millennials and said, what will it take you, for example, in Denver, what will it take you to stay in Denver? Their number one answer was protected bike lanes.
Okay.
And so you're talking about an entirely different environmental ethos, social ethos that's completely different than anything we've seen before. So our job as sort of activists, if you will, urban activists, is to try to create a place for them that they can prosper and grow and stay, and that becomes our new urban center. And since they're potentially here for the next 40 years, we better be doing the right things to make sure that they stay here and they don't go to Portland or, I mean, even Salt Lake City is beginning to eat our lunch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit more especially about education and the things that we need to do to integrate the university more into the kind of growth efforts that are going around and integrate the university into the things that we're doing in the community so that they seem to be more participative. We'll take another break, and then when we come back, let's talk about some of that. I'd like to just mention that the Buckmaster Live Line is open at 790-2040. If you have comments, you have questions for these guys, now's the time.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
we're back live here in the studio. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Thrilled and honored to have Fletcher McCusker and Michael Keith with me here live in the studio talking about downtown and economic development. And so what we need to talk about now a little bit is what is it going to take to get the funding necessary, and what is it going to take to get the partnership necessary to take the next take this thing to the next level, to make sure that the university is well integrated into the development and the economic future of our city, and make sure that our local governments are working well with business to if not have a single vision, at least have a single direction toward what our future is. Let's start with Michael.
Well, I think in all fairness to local government, they've done a better job mm-hmm. than they've been given credit for. What we don't talk about Rio Nuevo is all the projects they did complete and are continuing to do under Fletcher and the new board. But even the city of Tucson made a lot of good choices along the way that are being paying dividends, from the 4th Avenue underpass to all the historic preservation projects that they did that are now incredible restaurants and these beautiful facilities. The million and one shot of getting the streetcar here, which has proved to be everything it promised and more.
Absolutely.
And a lot of us, were wondering if it was going to ever play out that way, but we already have seen $650 million of private investment along that corridor and almost 400 of it in downtown. So it's done its thing. The county's played its role, a beautiful new courthouse, what they did with the old Walgreens and putting the U of A in there. So each of these governments have stepped up. There's a new kind of almost a regional downtown group that's been meeting, an Urban Land Institute follow-up panel that has all the major players, all the government entities there in the private sector that are talking on a monthly basis. So we're seeing a level of cooperation we've never seen before.
That's great. Fletcher, we talked about millennials. We talked about stopping the brain drain out of Southern Arizona. Education is clearly a big piece of it, not only getting the qualified and skilled employees to attract business to move here and stay here, but also in order to raise a family here, you've got to have some hope that your kids are going to stay, that they're going to be able to build careers here. First of all, who's in charge of improving our school system and in improving the relationship between the community college, the university, and our school districts, and how can we make it better?
I don't lose any sleep over it. I can't affect it. I think people work around it, Shelley. You have places like the Gregory School, Basis. You know, if you want a great education and you can afford it, you can go to a private school.
Absolutely.
There are charter schools that are just as free as TUSD is, that are ranked number one or two in the country. So the issue is really not education across the board. It's TUSD. And, you know, there's a group of people that need to be fixing that. And it affects how people view our community. It's a negative. It has historically been a negative. We're offsetting it with enough positives where people find a way that they can deal with that. People don't move here just to get an education. They might not move here because
right.
the education is substandard. And that's something we all tend to work on individually and privately. But the issue in terms of how we go forward in economic development is really all about money. The city's broke. Rio Nuevo's got $50 million. That's supposed to last us for 10 years. You know, Oklahoma City spent $1.5 billion of government money on their downtown. And it's an extraordinary thing. And when we visited, that was the takeaway we all came with. Gee, what could we do if we had $1.5 billion? The upcoming bond is very important for this community. And this is me speaking as a person, not as chairman of Rio Nuevo. We haven't taken a position. But if you look at the $800 million that we can now approve and invest in this community, that's the only source of that kind of economic development capital we have, is to be able to raise debt, pay for it through property tax increases, and invest that money in things that are going to attract those kind of businesses. There, if you look at the bonds packages, there are stuff in there that will improve education.
Absolutely.
There are things that will improve quality of life. And there's over $100 million of activity that's dedicated to our downtown. So, you know, I'm really hopeful that this community will rise to the occasion and pass that bond package. If not, we're going to be, pecking away at this for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Michael, can Tucson be an international city? Can we be a bilingual city? Can we be the destination in the U.S. For trade from Mexico and from South Mexico? Can we take a look at the map, you know, that doesn't put us on the coasts and doesn't put us on a river and, you know, doesn't put us in a crossroads? And can we say, but there's an entire two continents below, you know, south of us that can focus on Tucson and really improve our economy?
We better or we're dead.
Well, that's a quick answer. Thank you.
Because what you're talking about by 2040 mm-hmm. is the sixth largest economy in the world
yes.
is on our southern border. We've slipped to the second largest economy in the world by then. But combined, those two economies are a huge, huge economic block. We are perfectly positioned to benefit from this. This is what's going to save Tucson in the long run, is our relationship to Sonora and to the rest of Mexico. Right now, in the 75-mile corridor from the border, they're spending $7 million a day and $1 billion a year in southern Arizona. We have to strengthen those ties on every level. We have to become their transportation hub. We have to become their support hub. We can become their entertainment hub. Across the board, that is the number one thing we can do for ourselves and our children and grandchildren. And we become a minority-majority state just about the same time.
Right.
So there, at that point, the Hispanic population and other populations are larger than the Anglo population. So a lot of people are aware of this. I think the mayor has done a good job of being on the point for that. And I think many of us see that as the next big move and how we, as a downtown, begin to try to encapsulate that in our marketing and how we move forward is going to be a big part of how successful we are.
Are we getting any resistance? Let's just stick with resistance for now because
you hear it all the time. Why aren't you fixing the potholes in my part of town? Why aren't you working on the Far East Side? Or why is it all about downtown? And I sympathize with that. We have a particular challenge. It's statutory. It's limited geographically. Both of us, you know, that's all we live and breathe is to try and do something about our downtown. But, you know, a successful downtown will creep. And we're starting to see it now along the Broadway corridor, and you're starting to see opportunities that are created because successful developers have come to our region and experienced a downtown experience, and they want to stay involved in Tucson. The other place where we have a real opportunity to connect to Mexico is going to be in healthcare. I believe we will soon rival Houston as the destination for healthcare delivery. Banners come to town.
Right.
Tenet is acquiring Carondelet. The Mayo Clinic's now affiliated with TMC. Phoenix Children's Hospital is affiliated with TMC. You know, we have an opportunity to create a healthcare destination not unlike Houston. And that will attract people south of our border in droves. And they're going to hang around, and they're going to go visit our downtown. They're going to take the streetcar. They're going to hang out at our restaurants. They're going to stay and watch our concerts. So the connectivity to that, and to Guaymas, Guaymas is now a deep water port.
Right.
And you can actually offload your Toyota quicker in Guaymas than you can in Long Beach. But we don't see that because once you get there, where are you going to go with it? So there's a lot of things that are happening.
Right, the whole I-11 thing.
Connect us better to Mexico. But all of that points to, I think, a very exciting time for our downtown activity. And we've got major redevelopments happening at the Ronstadt Center that mm-hmm. could become our cityscape. We're talking about another 125,000 square feet of exhibition space, which could make us competitive to San Diego or Albuquerque. And residential. We have some of our most prominent residential developers now developing residential property in downtown Tucson. And, this is all going to happen in, 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah, we have 450 housing units slated right now on the drawing boards for the next 12 months.
That's great. That's great. Before we take our last break for the hour, we've got Dan on the live line talking about Mexico. Dan, thanks for the call. You have a question for these guys.
Yeah, I do. More of a comment, really. You concerning Mexico, you seem to be forgetting about the fact that we're enlarging the Panama Canal so that all these big ships don't have to go to the West Coast. They can go right on up through the new Panama Canal to Houston, New Orleans, and Mobile, and Tampa, and so forth, and totally bypass Mexico and Arizona. The next thing about Mexico, I'm concerned. I do business in Mexico some, and you're leaving out the fact that almost 20,000 civilians have been killed by drug gangs in Mexico in the last few years, and I don't think I really want that kind of stuff imported into Arizona.
Okay, well, that was exactly the kind of resistance or xenophobia, now the word comes back to me, that I was referring to. Dan, thanks for the call. Michael, would you briefly just deal with that, the fear of third worldism kind of coming into our community?
Right. I think Dan's is a good reminder as we kind of paint a positive picture for the future, that there are inherent problems in Mexico. There is a lot of drug trade down there, and different percentages of what their economy are attributed to that. There's other problems that are long-term problems down there. But what we're looking for is whether or not there's an economic engine there that's going to be large enough to propel Tucson into a better future. And I think even for when you discount for some of those other things, Mexico's got an exploding middle-class population, one of the fastest growing in this hemisphere. And I think that a lot of our economic success in the future will be tied to Mexico. But I am not an expert on Mexico or international trade. But I think you can see where this is going in broad strokes.
And just to balance it a little bit, some of the supply, or maybe a lot of the supply, is coming from south of the border. But the demand is up here.
Correct.
And we have to do something about that if right. we're going to fix that problem. Because, money, it just attracts like a magnet. And if we somehow can limit the demand for those drugs, maybe it'll stay where it is.
You were talking about just geographic presence, and I think those are the things we're trying to capitalize on downtown. A 250,000 cars drive by downtown, going someplace else every day.
Right.
We're talking about a regional visitor center that might encourage people to stop off and explore our region, maybe spend an extra day here. Michael's right. There are 6 or 7 million middle-class Mexicans now that are coming north.
Absolutely.
And we want that business to be captured in Tucson. And downtown's going to get its fair share of it.
And this whole healthcare thing was something I had not heard before. Shame on me. But sounds very, very exciting and something that I'd like to explore a little bit more, maybe with you guys, but certainly as I research this further. Before we take a break, I should point out that the Buckmaster Show is made possible in part by the generous support of Perfection Auto Works. Mike Emery and his team can take care of all your foreign and domestic automobile needs, and Mike offers a free 26-point inspection. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com. Let's take one more break, and then we'll be back with Fletcher McCusker and Michael Keith.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
And we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's off in Hawaii. And I'm here with Fletcher McCosker and Michael Keith, and we're talking about downtown. And so as we kind of sum this thing up and kind of try to bring it to a conclusion on as high a note as we possibly can, let's talk about the arts. Let's talk about how we make the ethos, we've used that word before this hour, of Tucson something that makes us a huge attraction. How do we own the winter?
Well, you've got to find a way to keep the people who are here participating in some of our arts around to participate in more. 400,000 people a year go to the Desert Museum. You know how many people go to the Fine Arts Museum on the U of A campus? 10,000. And so we have the fifth richest collection of art of any university in the world. People don't get to it. They don't know about it. They don't know where to park. So we're trying to connect the dots so that people stay and go to the Pima Air and Space Museum. They go to the Biosphere. They go to the Children's Museum. Part of the bond package, again, is to create a Museum of the West in the old county courthouse that can rival the Herd. You know, the Herd in Phoenix is a destination. People go there for no other reason than to go to the Herd Museum. We have the opportunities to create and band those things together, Shelley, where people will spend a couple of days here just participating in the arts. And
so I have to ask, whose responsibility is the marketing of all this stuff?
Well, it's Michael Keith.
We share that, and we're doing a pretty good job. Rio Nuevo is about to jump into this as well, but Visit Tucson under Brent Durad has done an extraordinary job. The partnership is really, we're getting a million page views a year just on our website. We're knocking it out for social media, but we need to tell the story better than we're doing. The city's got a website. But it's still like a hidden gem. We still have people that say, I've never been downtown. And when they come down, they're completely blown away by it. But we still have some resistance, as you like to say, to get around here. But we're making great pride.
And in preparing for the show, and I talk to people, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth, and please don't jump on me for this, was parking.
Yeah.
You know, I can't find my way around down there, and where do I park?
It's urban. You got to park and walk. There's 11,000 spaces, but you got to know where they are, and you got to park, and you're going to walk a couple of blocks. You walk and ride the streetcar.
Once you figure it out, you're done. Because then you just do that same thing every time, and it's just that initial learning curve.
You know, I never drove my car to the Metropolitan Opera from 42nd Street.
That's right.
I just never did.
Right. Where would you park?
Right. Well, I knew where to park, but I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop me from going.
Right.
I think that's part of the adventure we're seeing down downtown. It's walkability. And you're seeing people cross over from South 4th Avenue now, which has become kind of a section of downtown, walking underneath the underpass, going to restaurants or bars on that side of the street, coming downtown, walking, jumping on the streetcar, going one stop on the streetcar, doing something, and then riding back. So, the only reason you need a car is to get down there. Everything you want to do down there, you can walk to.
Right, right. So, you know, we're talking about widening Broadway, and I think that's going to happen. And, you know, there's a bunch of controversy over it. I think city staff probably could have handled it better. But once that happens, how do we get cars around that bottleneck? I mean, because right now, they kind of spill out into an urban setting that really can't handle that traffic. Are we ever going to build a bridge?
Well, we have events that are 100,000 for Day of the Dead. We've got 300,000 that come over a weekend for Tucson Meet Yourself. They all find a place.
They do.
I mean, look at 4th Avenue Street Fair. There's no place to park, but 300,000 people over a weekend manage. And I think we're an urban center that's getting denser. It's not very difficult compared to other cities. Most people that do come down there have found their way in their own little parking space, their own little garage. They know where they're going.
So marketing is important.
It is. And I think we need to do a better job of getting the message out about the parking. And that's something that Park Tucson and the city and all of us have to work better at doing.
And alternatives. You know, most people don't know you can hang a ride on Tool and whip around downtown the back way.
Or
if you come down 22nd and come up 6th. Or you can go down Speedway, come up Stone or 6th.
Stone's
so
a simple one.
A lot of that's being able to have an app or, low power FM, that tells you what parking lots are full, what parking lots are open. And there's a big bottleneck at Broadway right now here's how you work around it.
21st century.
Those are all great problems to be having, right. Because 5 years ago, there was no problem going through downtown.
That's
Tucson.
A great point, Fletcher. If those are great problems to be having. People complaining that when I go downtown, I can't find a place to park or I don't know where to do it. Whereas you're right, just a few years ago, I'm not going down there.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And, what else is on the horizon, guys? A couple of minutes.
So the hotel is going to reportedly, the lot's going to be fenced off next week, and they're going to knock down the single building that's still on that lot. Huge.
Yeah,
I mean, huge. The market opens on June 5th, along with two other, a micro distillery and a craft cocktail place. We've got...
That's our ninth craft beer downtown.
Right.
And most people don't appreciate how that's really taken off.
Right. We've got every retail space now is accounted for. There's leases on every available space except for the space at the bottom of the TEP. So we're out of retail space downtown.
Another good problem to have.
Another good problem to have. We have zero vacancy downtown. There are no place that you can rent in the greater downtown area right now.
I have a client coming in from New York on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Cannot get her a hotel room.
Yeah.
Now, it's graduation.
It's graduation, right.
But cannot get her a hotel room in any place I'd put her.
Right. But
incredible.
You've got four hotels coming. You've got the AC Marriott that breaks ground next week, but you've got the Hyatt that should be part of Alan Norville's project. You've got the Residence Inn next to the Marriott on campus and a second boutique hotel off of Euclid. That's four more hotels to go along with the A-Loft at Speedway and everything else that we've got along along the river. So we've got something like 1,400 business-level hotel rooms now on that 3.9-mile corridor.
That's great.
That's extraordinary.
It is. It is. So you guys are really doing it.
Seven housing projects coming in 12 months.
Seven housing projects in the downtown.
Yeah,
area.
Some of them are small, sure. You know, only 10 units, but that's 450 units that are slated to break ground in the next 12 months.
And some of them are three-bedroom with two-car garages, you know, in an urban environment.
So it's not just students.
No, not only students.
In fact, none of those 450 are for students.
These are market-rate housing. And they estimate the demand's as big as 5,000 units.
So?
20,000.
20,000. Yeah, that's great.
Dr. Stuff. Nelson.
So we've got, yeah, right. So the music tells me that I've got to kind of thank you guys for doing this, for coming in, for spending an entire hour out of your busy days to tell us what's going on in downtown, why it's important. Again, thank you so much. This is Shelley Fishman in for Bill Buckmaster. Have a great week.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Intelligent Talk 24/7. AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.